Okay, kiddos, come on and join me. How's everybody today?
Good.
Have a good week?
Yep.
Everybody healthy?
Yep.
Today's a special day. You know what today is?
Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday. Do you know why we call it Palm Sunday?
Because Jesus rode on a donkey.
Yay. That's right. It's the day that he presented himself into Jerusalem as the coming king. He rode into town on the donkey to fulfill Scripture. He fulfilled it in detail. And his disciples threw their clothing down in front of him. And in others, as a sign of his royalty, they threw these palms, these palm fronds, down in the way as he came into Jerusalem, because he had an appointment there. You know what would happen the rest of the week? What are the other things that happen after Palm Sunday? He's in Jerusalem. That's right. When he came into town, they were shouting, Hosanna. And does anybody know what Hosanna means? It means save now. But by the end of the week, he was arrested. And he went through six different trials at the end of three civil and three religious. Six different trials he went through. And then they took him out to Golgotha outside Jerusalem. And there they crucified him. Between two thieves on either side. But when Pilate had brought him, Pontius Pilate brought him before the people before they crucified him, see, he thought, well, I'll get Jesus off and then I can please both groups. What did the people shout out to him? What shall I do when he asked the question, what shall I do with Jesus? What did they say? Anybody know? Crucify him. That's right. So maybe some of the same people that were saying, save now at the beginning of the week, maybe that really wasn't in their heart for him, and they were shouting, crucify him. And he would die alone on the cross. But what happened 3 days later? That's right. And that's what we're going to celebrate next Sunday. This is a very, very important week. Beginning tomorrow evening at sundown begins Passover, where we remember the as the death angel passed over down in Egypt, every house that had the blood of the lamb over the doorpost, the death angel would pass over. You see, Jesus would fulfill that feast when he gave his blood. Everyone that has been washed in Jesus' blood, death has no power over them because we're going to be with him forever. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for these children. I pray, Lord, that this week as we look forward to celebrating next Sunday your resurrection, I ask you, Lord, that you'll be speaking to us this week. Thank you for each one of these children today. Lord, bless them and bless their families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, y'all remember to invite somebody to come with you next Sunday, okay? Invite your friend. Okay, y'all can go to Kids Zone now. A couple of other quick reminders for you. We've got some more of these invitations for next Sunday, with envelopes out in the narthex. you can get those. And also, there are some flyers for our treehouse, Sycamore Treehouse Ministry, out in Georgetown, which is going to begin a week from Wednesday afternoon. It's ministry for after school for children, 3:30 to 5 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. So take some of the flyers, invite the kiddos. We're looking for kids in the Georgetown area. So invite them to be a part of that. Also, if you look out in out there in the narthex on the table out there, there's a little triptych that Miss Terry and Miss Jason put together that describes their mission trip. They're going to Cuba. She's got some T-shirts. Some of you got an email about that, but you can see Miss Terry about one of those. And please be praying for their trip to Cuba. We want to get them down there, but we also want to get them back to the States. And John, will you put up that on our website? You'll see down in the bottom left corner, business directory. I hope you'll take a look at that. And if you would like to advertise your business there, there's a form online you can fill out. But we'd encourage you to use that and look at it. And you might as well be patronizing the businesses of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't you think? All right. All righty. Passover begins tomorrow evening, sundown. What's also going to happen during the night? It's the first of the four blood moons. How many of you heard my sermon on blood moon? Okay. Those of you who didn't hear it and you say, what in the world is he talking about? You can go online in our section where the messages are and you can see that. I would encourage you to, because I gave you, I think, a pretty good overview, a flyover to explain what it's about. But essentially, over the next year and a half, we're going to see a series, something called a tetrad in science, a four blood moon where there's this total eclipse, total lunar eclipse. The last three that have happened over the last several centuries, each time one of those happened in that way where the blood moon coincided with the Passover feast and the Feast of Tabernacles, Passover feast the next year and the Feast of Tabernacles, four in a row like that. The last time they all coincided and were exactly on those feast days, each of those three events, something happened with the Jews and with Israel that was a big event. I've put this before you so you can be watching the signs and see what the Lord is doing. I don't know what it is, but I know God's getting our attention. Don't you think He's trying to get our attention right now? And so I'd encourage you. Now, also want to warn you, when you go on the internet and look up blood moon, you'll also see in parentheses the places where it says nutcase. And there are plenty of those out there that are teaching all kinds of weird stuff where they got their opinions in it. I tried to keep my opinions to a minimum about that and say to you that these are big events for the Jews and for Israel when these coincide together. If you have your Bible, if you turn with me to the 19th chapter of the book of Luke, beginning in verse 28. Now you're going to have to listen fast today, okay? Because I have a lot to share with you. You may want to take a few notes because I'm not going to be able to reiterate a lot. I'm just going to assume you're absorbing it. And this may be one you want to go back and listen to again. Verse 28, after he had said these things, he was going on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And when he approached Bethphage and Bethany, near the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village ahead of you. There, as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent away went and found it just as he told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner said to him, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. And they brought it to Jesus, and they threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. And he was going, and they were spreading their coats on the road. As soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus answered, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. And when he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, if you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, how now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side, and they will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another because they did not recognize the time of your visitation. Now, if you'll turn with me, go to Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah, it's right there before the Italian prophet Malachi. Some of you think I'm really weird, don't you? Now I want you to see verse 4. Well, we'll read the first 4. Beginning of verse 1. Behold, a day is coming for the Lord when the spoil taken from you will be divided among you. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be captured, the houses plundered, the women ravished, half the city exiled, but the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth, fight against those nations as when he fights on the day of battle. In that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will be split in the middle from the east to the west by a very large valley, so that half the mountain will move to the north, half to the south. And you will flee by the valley of my mountains, for the valley of mountains will reach to Azel. Yes, you will flee just as you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come and all the holy ones with him. I want you to bear that in mind. All right. What's the big deal? What's the big deal about Palm Sunday? Palm Sunday took place on the 10th of Nisan. Now, it was prophesied exactly when Jesus would come and present himself as king, that he would ride into town. That was prophesied. We're going to look at that in just a moment in Daniel. But I want you to see the overview here. You see, the scripture talks about Jesus coming two times. In the Old Testament, we see that. Prophecies of his coming the first time, when he would come with peace, when he would come with that love. But then it also prophesies when he comes with judgment, when he comes the second time, and he puts things right. And here we are between the first and the second coming of Jesus. Now, turn with me, if you will, to Daniel chapter 9. The day that he presented himself was prophesied in Scripture. The exact day. How about that? Daniel was written hundreds of years before. And in his revelation, the Lord had shown Daniel exactly when Jesus, to the day when he would come in to Jerusalem and present himself. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Now, verse 24 is an overview of last things. Let me quickly take you through this. 70 weeks have been decreed. When we think of 70, we think of completeness. So here's the complete plan. The plan of God have been decreed for your people. Who are Daniel's people? The Jews. And your holy city. What place is that? Jerusalem. To finish the transgression, finish all this time that we're in now, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity. And how would that be done? By Jesus coming, by His coming, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Okay, we've done raced on ahead. What do we know is going to happen next? What happens after Jesus comes back the second time? What's He set up on earth? His kingdom. And He shows us how it's supposed to be. Are you following me so far? Okay? And to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So all that we see, the fulfillment of all of that, He's going to bring everything in history to a conclusion. Palm Sunday was a part of that. Verse 25. So you are to know and discern from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Okay, we know the time in which that took place. When He made that decree, from the time, that time of Daniel's time, when they were rebuilding that, until the time when Jesus would present Himself on that Palm Sunday, it would be 1,000, He says, and you do the math here, 7 and 62 weeks. 7 and 6, so in other words, 69 weeks. Now, the way they reckoned time back then, they used different calendar. They used a calendar that had 360 days. And then they had like a leap month every so often. You do the math, you add all that together, you put in the leap years, the days, and all, you add that all up, and you get 173,880 days, 69 weeks. From that time, when they would rebuild the wall, until, this is after their captivity in Babylon, until the time when Jesus would present Himself. So here it is with precision. It's not just telling you a general time. It's telling you the exact day that it's going to happen. Now how about them apples? That is a fantastic mathematical miracle that it took place. He goes on. Let me read the whole verse. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, where He's presented there in Jerusalem, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And it will be built again with plaza and moat, even in the times of distress. And then after this time, after the 7 weeks, says the 62 weeks, but what He said, the 7 weeks, then the 62 weeks, so He's saying. So after those 62, that final 62 weeks have been completed, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. What does that mean? What happened to Him? He was crucified. Here it is. I mean, in detail. And the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. And its end will come with a flood. Even to the end there will be war and desolation determined. And he will make a firm covenant and goes on and erases his own. And this is future thing. But this thing about destroying the city and the sanctuary. Now when did that happen? That was 70 AD. Let's go back to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 says, what did Jesus say after he comes into Jerusalem? Verse 41, as he approached Jerusalem, he's come in now. He's fulfilled this prophecy 173,880 days from that time in that's referred to in the book of Daniel. He comes into the city. As he approaches Jerusalem, he saw the city and he weeps over it. Here's why he weeps over it. Saying, if you had known in this day, he's not using a general word there, today, that this was going to be fulfilled. You watch all this stuff, you watch signs and all, but I'm telling you, today I fulfilled this. I fulfilled this prophecy. And let me tell you, did the Pharisees realize that he was being presented as king? What did they say to him earlier in verses? They said, Rabbi, Rabbi, Rabboni, Rabboni, rebuke your people. Why'd they want them rebuked? Because they were calling and they were proclaiming him as Messiah, the king. The Mashiach Nagid, Messiah the King. He was being proclaimed that. And the Pharisees, they saw it. They read the book. So as he is weeping over Jerusalem, he's weeping over the fact that he has come and they missed it. Let me briefly make a sidebar comment. That's why when you have something happen like these four moons, these four blood moons, I'm saying to you, we don't want to miss anything. Anything that God is doing in the earth. And it goes on. If you had known this day, even you, the things which make for peace. You see, how's he coming this time? How'd he come the first time? The Prince of Peace. But now they have been hidden from your eyes. He came to his own and his own, what? Received him not. So we enter a dark period that is stretched from that time until our modern time where Jews largely had rejected him as Messiah. But now these have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when the enemies will throw up a barricade around you. If we're in 32 AD, however you do your math with the years there, you're 29, 32, however you do it as we reconcile the calendars. If you're in that year, and you know that in just a few decades, 70 AD, what's going to happen? It's prophesied. The Romans, those Roman legions are going to come in and they're not going to leave one stone upon the other. They're going to level Jerusalem. And they did. And at that point, Israel essentially ceased to be as a country and as a people recognized in the world. And they were scattered to the earth. What's happening right now? What's happening? They've come back. The miracle of miracles. A nation for the Jews. That's the Lord calling. We're with you, Lord. And we see Jewish families now that just suddenly decide, well, you know, I think it'd be a good idea to go and live in Israel today. How's that? One of my friends, a guy I grew up with, a secular Jew, he had no thing. He sent both of his girls to go to college there in Israel. What would be considered one of the most dangerous places in the world by some. But for some reason, he thought it was a good idea. He sends them there. What put that in his heart? Who put that in his heart? You see, they're beginning to respond. And someone, they don't even know why they're doing it. But we see that beginning to break. Okay. They will level you to the ground, your children within you. They will not leave one stone upon the other because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. You didn't recognize that this was the time. He came to his own, and his own received it not. Is Palm Sunday important? The 10th of Nisan, the Jewish month, it happened. During that week of Holy Week, as we call it in our Christian tradition, they would celebrate a Passover meal. And Jesus would institute out of that what we call communion, the Lord's Supper. I can't begin to explain to you the gravity and the importance of us getting this at such a time as this. And putting all the pieces of the puzzle together. So in just a moment, we're going to come to the communion table. We're going to invite you. First of all, we're going to give you an opportunity, if you want to spend some time in prayer, to do that. To get yourself ready to hear from the Lord. So that we will not be like those Jews of old who missed the visitation of the Lord. Let me tell you, He is in this world right now, and He is working powerfully. And you know what? If we can't see it, what does that say about us? What were the Jews guilty of? Not paying attention to what God was doing. And if they missed the Son of God the first time that He came, you think it's possible we can miss some of the signs that precede the second coming of Jesus? I guarantee you we can. We can live with our head in the sand. I'm calling on you today. Just a moment, I'm going to pray. We're going to go before the Lord. Going to ask Him to speak to us. On the night in which He was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, He took the cup after supper, third cup of the evening, cup of redemption. We'll experience the fourth cup and when the kingdom is set up. "This cup is new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Therefore, whoever eats and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself. And in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Let's pray. Lord, now as we come to this time, as we open the altar for prayer. Lord, as we spend just a few moments letting the Holy Spirit reveal to us, are we paying attention to what you're doing in the earth? Are we paying attention to what you're doing in our lives? Are we paying attention to what's right in front of our nose? Lord, we come to you right now. We confess we have sinned against you. We are not worthy for eternal salvation. But I thank you, Lord, that your grace and your love is larger than our sin. And you have forgiven us through your shed blood on the cross. Lord, right now, prick our hearts. Let us respond to what you're saying to us right now. The altar's open. If you want to come and pray, if you want to get someone to come and pray with you, this is your time. In the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you." And after supper, the cup, he said, "And this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant." All this is the body of Jesus broken for you. Break the body of Jesus broken for you. Take the body of Jesus broken for you. The blood of the new covenant poured out for you, John. I love you. Break the blood of Jesus poured out for you now. I love you, God. Take the blood of Jesus poured out for you. We invite you to the Lord's table. Are you ready to come and receive His communion? It's not like He is here. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Praise the Lord. He is risen and He is risen indeed. Come to His table. As we continue in this time of prayer and communion with Him, if you have an offering to bring, or those cards, we'd sure like to get those now. The baskets are up here or in the back. We'll wait. Have you met the Lord today? He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Pray that this week you'll allow the Lord to speak to you. You may or may not want to stay up tomorrow night and see that blood moon, but I'd encourage you to. It'll be somewhere around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. You can look at the stuff online and see exactly when. I think it begins at like 1 o'clock, and I think the full thing is at 3. Just have a visual reminder of who's in charge today. He is Lord over all. Now you're going to have opportunities this week. We're going to join together our usual schedule, 9:30, our teaching. Brother Rick is taking us on the safari through James at 9:30 next Sunday morning. And by the way, I will send out this week to you. Several of you have asked me where they're having sunrise services. If some of you would be interested in doing that, there are several places where usually you can go wherever the gnats are the most concentrated. The gnats love to come to sunrise services. And bring your covered dish. After we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, it's going to be upbeat. We're going to have joy in the streets, because then we're going to journey right on over a few blocks to Daffin Park after service and have our meal together on the west end over there near Waters where the playground equipment is. You'll see we'll have some tables out there. You know, bring your half rubbers and your half rubber sticks if you want to play. How many don't know what I'm talking about? All right. That's a game invented in Savannah, Georgia. Bring them with you. And we'll play it. If you can still throw a baseball, we might do a little bit of that too and just have a good time out there together. And the most important thing you can do this week after you have given honor and praise and glory to Him is to reflect that glory to other people. And don't invite people next Sunday that are already in another church. If God's already gotten a hold of them, that's fine. Let them stay in their church. We're not after them. We don't want them. We want the ones who are not in anybody's church, and that's three-fourths of Savannah. So let's get at it, okay? Get at it this week. Can we sing something kind of rousing to get us out of here?
I don't know if we can do anything loud and rousing.
All right, let's go. Stand up.